In my lesson for this morning, I want us to go back to the book of Genesis, to chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. It is a chapter that is well known by us today. It is a chapter that gives us the account of what happened at the beginning of creation. God created a man, God created a woman. He provided everything for their existence. They were given choices, and Eve messed up. We know, beginning with verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig tree leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. An event, a happening that we all remember. The word "hid" is a very important word in our lesson this morning, because it describes in a very similar manner what happened, what took place, what was the reaction of Adam and Eve when they sinned. This particular word, "hide," can be understood by several of these synonyms: to secrete, to hide, to conceal, to cover up, to keep actions a secret, private. There are many other words that we can use. These words serve to give us a pretty good idea of what happened that particular day, what took place in the mind of this man and this woman. And the word that comes to mind is the word "secret," a very well-known word in our vocabulary. The word "secret" is not secret. It well describes actions that are taken to conceal, to cover up. I want to speak this morning on what the Bible has to say about secrets. Let me start off by telling you that God has secrets. In Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, Moses writes, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The secret things belong to the Lord. Things that are hidden, things that are private, things that only belong to God are things that are secret. And let me remind you that we know quite well about this, because over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren, describing, explaining how they knew as apostles the word of God, that it was a word that was hidden. It was a hidden wisdom, he calls it. And then later in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 26, this particular wisdom was revealed. The cover was removed, and this wisdom of God was made known through the Holy Spirit. But these were private, secret things that belonged in the mind of God, and he kept covered up until a certain time in the life of man. God has secrets. Jesus even mentioned concerning the second coming of Jesus. Jesus makes the statement that only the Father knows when. This is God's secret. This is something that belongs only in the mind of God, according to Jesus. So this gives you a pretty good idea that we're talking about something that is biblical. It has to do with God's wisdom. It's got to do with the Word of God. But let me go on to my second point this morning. I don't think I need to tell you this, but I think I need to say it. Humans have secrets. Throughout the Bible, we read of the secret things of man. Psalm 44 and verse 21, the writer asks, "Would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart." And keep in mind that that word secret is well understood by us, things that are hidden. Now let me point out here real quickly, before you misunderstand, that this word secrets refers to things that are good or bad, things that are right or that are wrong, things that only belong in the mind of a person and does not belong in the minds of other people. This is a general word referencing anything that is kept covered up, concealed, or hidden. And we were created by God to have this ability to know and to treasure things that we treasure ourselves, that are private, nobody else's business. Now that may sound crazy in the world we live today, because every other media that we see and hear of has something to reveal about what man is doing and are not doing. So it may sound crazy to speak on secrets. And like I said earlier, secret is not secret anymore. But we also learn in the book of Psalms, where the writer speaks to Jehovah, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance." So here, in a specific manner, the writer is referencing sins that are hidden, that are kept covered up by man, but God brings to light, he says. But let me go forward and say this. We have the example of people in the Old and New Testament. Besides Adam and Eve, Achan, when he and God's people were instructed to go to battle and destroy the enemy completely. You know the story. They came back with the spoils of victory. They were hidden so that no one would know that they had kept the spoils. But God saw. God knew. And he called out his people for being a people that were trying to hide their failures in obeying God's word. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, we read about how they wanted to show off. They wanted to exhibit among the brethren their generosity, but they lied. And Peter calls them out. And then you have Simon the sorcerer, who wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. After becoming a Christian, he was moved by his carnality. But Peter calls him out. And he calls out the secret sin of the heart. So we read in the Bible these tremendous examples that help us understand that as humans, we also have secrets. But we are told that God knows our secrets. When you consider the example of Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from the Lord. Did they? Did they really hide from the presence of the Lord? Did God not know what had happened? Did God not see what had just happened? This Psalm 139, and I advise you to read it, the whole Psalm 139, the writer expresses in many terms and with many words that God knows everything. And he writes, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." And he describes the ability that God has to know things that are public and things that are private. God is fully aware. In the life of Jesus, John writes about this and very briefly describes the ability of Jesus to plan his activities, his work, knowing well the intents of the heart. And John makes a tremendous comment that helps us understand Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And what he says here is that he knew the heart. He knew their plans. He knew their lives. He knew what they wanted to do with him as the Savior, as the Jesus, as the Christ. So he was careful. He was able to maneuver his life around people that he knew their intentions. So when they spoke, he knew why they spoke. When they remained silent, he knew why they remained silent. He knew all men. But let me also add here this morning that Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, in reference to the activities of these brethren, to his work, to his efforts as an apostle, and he speaks of God who will bring to light, listen, the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Let me stress this by saying that this teaches us that God knows why we make decisions that we make. That God knows our intent. He not only knows what we do, but he knows our planning to do the things that we do. What is the motor that moves people to do what they do? And the Bible is telling us that the time will come when he will reveal these things that are hidden, things that belong in the realm of darkness and sin. And he will reveal, he will remove the cover of the hearts. How powerful of a statement is that? And going back to the book of Psalms 94 from verses 8 through 11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. The Lord knows. So we are faced with the knowledge that there are secrets, but they're not. Although they are private, they are not. Although they are concealed and covered up, God will reveal the secrets of the heart. We are also told, not only will he reveal, but he will judge our secrets. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus according to my gospel. And again, consider, keep in mind, that the secrets here can either be good or bad. They don't have to be bad. And I'm afraid that sometimes when we talk about secrets, we limit these to things that are bad. Things that are considered sinful, that we are ashamed that others may know of. But that's not the case. The word secrets can refer to anything that is hidden, that is covered up, that is concealed. And Paul is making the statement that the time will come when God will judge the secrets that only God may know. Ecclesiastes, for example, chapter 12 and verse 14. In the closing writings of the preacher, He makes this beautiful statement that God will bring into judgment. What? Every secret thing. And he helps us understand good or evil. And I want you to know, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to read that. Because not only in Ecclesiastes, but there are several other scriptures throughout the Bible that mention about the things that God remembers that man did right. God knows that these secret things can either be good or evil, not necessarily evil. But the moment we hear the word secrets, boy, we turn up all of the alerts. We run quickly and we hide. We limit what we want others to know about us. But let me remind you again that we use the word secrets, and it is used that way. And the writer helps us understand that it covers good or evil. But we also learn that God will judge our secrets and render to each one accordingly. So this process of judgment, this process of revealing, of uncovering secrets, has a purpose. God has a purpose in knowing the secrets of man. And the purpose is here. Romans chapter 2. This whole idea of God passing judgment, weighing, considering, evaluating, classifying, making a difference, is because he wants to be fair and just and render to each one according to his deeds. I've often said this, and I'll say it again this morning. I've said this publicly and privately in our studies. I am glad that I will not be judged by humans. I am glad that I will be judged by God, who knows what humans do not know, the intentions of the heart, the motor, the elements that move us to be who we are. And the reason God is judging the motor, the reason God is evaluating the purpose behind the deeds, is to be able to give to each one at the very end what each one deserves. Now, having said that, why this lesson? Well, James makes it very easy for us. He simply writes, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Consider for a moment the meaning of these very simple words. In this chapter, in this phase of secrets, right or wrong, good or evil, that God knows, that we cannot hide from God. We may be able to hide it from one another, splendid lesson on hypocrisy this morning. God knows the real Reuben. God knows the real you. God knows every intention of the heart. So when we say that, James makes the point, humble yourselves in the sight of the one that knows. And that's why an invitation song has been prepared, to praise God, but at the same time to encourage you to respond, because God knows, and because falling to your knees with an humble heart, God will lift you up. We invite you as we stand and sing.